Thank you for allowing us to be here with you. We've had a wonderful time already these past few days. Yesterday, I had the opportunity with Ian and Lindsay, after going and seeing the Needpath Castle, to go walk along the footpath down by the river. And while we were walking down there, there were two fishermen that were out in the middle of the water. And of course, Ian said, "I don't know what could cause a man to get in the water when it's this cold." And but he's not a fisherman. And so if you've ever, you know, fished, or if that's something that that you're about, you brave a lot of different things to go out there and do that type of thing. And so that reminded me of a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 5. Jesus was by the lake of Gennesaret, and while he was there, he was teaching the crowds, and they started pressing in on him. And they were pressing in on him to the point that he saw two boats, and he decided to get into one of those boats so that he could teach from the boat. He was in the boat, and then there were some people as well in that boat. They were mending their nets, and after he finished teaching, he looked at one of them, and he said, "Simon, put your nets out onto the deep side of the water." And Simon looked at him, and, you know, I'm sure in his mind he thought, you know, "Well, you're a carpenter, and you're telling me how to fish." And so he said, "Lord, we've fished all night and haven't caught anything." And so he said, "But if that's what you say to do, that's what we'll do." So they put their nets out on that side of the boat, and they were bringing in so many fish that the nets started ripping. And so they called to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And so they brought in this large load of fish, and then one of them said, "I am a sinful man. I need to get away from you." And Jesus turned and said, "Don't be afraid. You will now be fishers of people, or fishers of men." And so the things that we want to do today is work on a couple of things. I've fished for bass, I've fished for catfish, I've fished for trout, and so I've fished for lots of different types of fish, but the thing is, you have to use something different for every different type of fish that you fish for. If you're going to try to fish for trout, especially if you're fly fishing, you want a very small hook, and you're going to fish very differently than you would if you were fishing on bottom for a catfish. You're going to use a different bait or a different lure, or those types of things. And so a couple things we want to do today are talk through some ways that you can use to fish for people, or have an opportunity to go out and try to tell them about Jesus, as Keith has been talking about. And so Oz Guinness, I don't know, has anybody read any of Oz Guinness's books? He's from the UK, and so one of the things that Oz talked about in a book of his called Fool's Talk, he wrote a thing, and he said, in today's culture, because of secularism and because of pluralism, and mostly because of pluralism, because there's so many different types of beliefs out there, we've got to find what he calls some subversive ways to share the gospel. So we're going to show at least two different ways today of how to do this. And one of the things that he says that are some subversive ways to share the gospel, how many of you have ever heard of, oh, I don't know, maybe the four spiritual laws? And it was a time in the 60s, 70s, 80s where it was, you know, some very specific laws of the universe, and then spiritual laws that we would go to. But the problem is, in a postmodern world, people don't believe in absolutes, and so that way of fishing isn't as effective anymore in today's culture. And so Oz Guinness says that some of the subversive ways are, number one is to be able to use stories. And another one, number two, is to reframe the thoughts of things. And then the other one is to use questions. Because questions and stories are very disarming, and it's a much better way, instead of sitting down and feeling like you have to have something completely memorized and get it all right and give a proposition to someone and then turn and say, "Do you want to believe this?" That can be a very difficult thing to do. So one of the ways we're going to even show you today, I know we had sent through Ian for some people to kind of look at, and some people thought, that seems a little bit like a canned approach to me. I'm not sure that that's going to be something that's going to work here. And I want to show you how it is a rehearsed type of way of sharing the gospel, but it is a way, and it's one thing that you can have in your toolkit of fishing. and it actually uses story. And then another way we're going to use is some questions and a way to invite people to consider Jesus. And then hopefully we'll look at a way of storying as well. So those are the things that we want to do, is figure out a way to be subversive in today's culture, and then talk about ways to get in those very conversations in the very first place. So we still need to keep going for a few minutes. Okay. All right, we'll do that. So let me, Mark chapter 4, if you would please, if you've got a Bible, if you would turn there, Mark chapter 4, because any gospel presentation is going to have some of these things in mind as we're looking at sharing the gospel. I'm going to try to move this table back a little bit. Maybe everybody can see. Okay. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus is telling a parable, and this is known as the parable of the growing seed. But I want you to be listening as I read this story, then I'm going to start asking a few questions about sowing and reaping. So Mark chapter 4, verse 26 says this: "The kingdom of God is like this," he said. "A man scatters seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, and then the head, and then the full grain on the head. And as soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle, because the harvest has come." And so if you, and I know that you have gardens here, and you guys have a community garden, I know that Peebles Baptist Church has, that you've worked on. So if you're going to plant something, what is something that you need in order to bring in some type of harvest?
Seed.
You've got to have seed. Yeah, so we'll put that down here. What else?
Water.
Yeah, so you guys have plenty of water here. New Mexico, not so much, in the desert.
Fertile soil.
Fertile soil, yes. Sun? Yes. Anything else to bring in the harvest?
Time.
That's a good one. I'm going to use the word season, because I'm a Baptist and I like to alliterate things. So,
a farmer.
Can we call him a sower? Okay. And then I'm just going to put one more on here. You've got to have a sickle, which is in that particular passage. And so, yes, we've got to have the sun. Yes, we've got to have the water. We're going to assume some of these. But here's, I just want to point out from this particular passage, it says the kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters the seed on the ground, and he is the sower. And so one of the things that's happened, I think, in most cultures, we don't broadly sow the seed enough. If we were broadly sowing the seed more, we would see more people coming to faith. Now, the farmer knows that not every single seed that he sows, because they would have a bag of seeds and go out and cast them like this into the field. And he knew that some of those were going to take root and some of them were not going to. And so I know that even in our own culture in America, we don't sow the seed well enough. But if we were sowing the seed more, we would see more people coming to faith. So we've got to have sowers. So that's us in this room. From today on, we've got to say, my job, as Keith was pointing out, in terms of who we are as believers to have gospel fluency, we've got to begin seeing ourselves as sowers, and we've got to cast the seed broadly. The next thing would be, we've got to have a seed. So in this case, for the parable purposes, what would the seed be for us? The gospel. The message of Jesus, which Keith was just helping us to understand. So we've got to have that seed. We've got to have something that we go out there with. If we go out there with an empty bag and we don't have anything to take with our hand to begin to cast,
We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to put into the soil. So we have to be a sower, but we have to have that seed. We've got to bring it with us, and we'll talk about that. And then we've got to have a soil. So what would you say is your soil as a sower in your context?
People.
Okay? And so you've got different people in your lives. Tell me some people that you run into on a regular basis in your daily life.
Colleagues.
Neighbors. I'm sorry?
Family.
Friends. Yeah, so what we're going to call that word oikos. It's not yogurt, but in the New Testament, oikos is a word for dwellers or a group of people that are close to you. So an oikos are the people that are around you close in your life. People that you see regularly. You know, you see this person at the market. You see this family member. You see these people regularly. That is your oikos. That is your sphere of influence. And I'm going to come back to that in just a couple of minutes, because there's another piece of soil, bless you, that we have. And that is the word xenos. And so that is a word that means stranger or other. And so what maybe word in the news today might we get from xenos? Xenophobia, right? We're afraid of the other, of the different. And so that's why many of us would be like, no, I am not interested in walking down the street and stopping somebody and saying, can I tell you about Jesus? Or knocking on a door, somebody that we don't know at all. And so you've got oikos, those that you're around on a regular basis that you know, and then there's xenos, people that also, that's what missionaries do. They go to places where there's people they don't know to tell them about Jesus. So there's two different parts to what we would call our soil or our field. The next piece would be season. And so season is timing. You don't plant seeds at certain times of the year because it's not going to take root, because maybe the soil is too hard. It's not prepared. And so you sow, in America at least, in Albuquerque, we can't start putting seed in the ground until March or April and then expect to have something in July. That's typically how that goes, at least for summer type crops. And then the last one is we've got to have a sickle, somebody that comes in to harvest. You know, Billy Graham a long time ago said that we are living in an unseeded, unsown generation, and we are expecting to see a harvest. And one of the reasons we're not seeing much of a harvest in people coming to Christ is because we've not gone and sown. We've not gone out and taken the seed broadly and sown the seed. So here are the pieces. But here's the X factor in this, and I want to point this out because this helped me a number of years ago come at ease in terms of sharing the gospel. Look at chapter 4, verse 27. So the man has scattered his seed, but then look what it says. He sleeps and he rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, and then listen to this phrase, although he does not know how. There's another S word that I want to put on the board, and it's the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. We sow the seed, but we have no idea who is going to receive it, or how this is going to grow, or what's going to take place. And the sower is able to go to sleep and not be worried about it. It doesn't keep him up. He goes to sleep at night knowing that he has done his part as the sower, and he's relying on the Lord to do his part. Jesus saves. Jesus is the one who draws people to himself. We're just simply supposed to share the message and lift him up. And so I don't know about you, but that encourages me to go, you know what? I don't know whether this person's going to receive or not. I have no idea how to convince this person into the kingdom of God. That's not my job. My job is just to simply sow and then allow God's Spirit to do what he's going to do in the lives of the people that I come in contact with. Does that encourage anybody else other than me to go, you know what? I may just completely bumble this mess, but God is still going to do what he wants to in the life of that person, that individual. So we need to be prepared with our seed, but God's going to be able to do that work. So I think we're going to take a break for just a moment, and then we're going to come back and start working on some ways to do that. So I've always wanted to say this, it's tea time. So